of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, because of who you are, I will lift a voice and say, Lord.
Some of you are going through trouble, going through trials. You're trying to find peace in your situation. You're trying to find your needs to be met. See, it's one thing to sing a song. It's another thing to sing to the one who the song was made for. You're not singing to a ceiling. You're not singing just words. This is your connection between you and God. This is where you tap into heaven's and heaven has a place that's filled with everything you need. It's called total access. Adam and Eve lost it. Christ regained it for you. What happens is when we just sing a song, that's nice, and I believe He loves hearing our voices. But when you can attach your faith to a song, it brings your answer. Some of you have been needing, you've been needing some peace. You're kind of overwhelmed. God just wants to give you who He is. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Nisi, our protector, our banner. Jehovah what? Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Is He that to you today? You see, that's the difference between religion and really knowing God. Is when this song takes a whole metamorphosis. I love Him. How about you? Can we just sing that portion one more time? Can you sing it just to Him? I'm trying to teach you how to worship. Worship's not singing about Him. Worship is singing to Him. Just you and God. Separate yourself. Just you and Jesus right now. Just sing right to Him. Okay.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nisi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace. Lord, I
Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We thank you that this morning, God, we don't have to go to church. We can come to your house. We love sitting in your living room, Jesus. We love sitting at your feet. We just want to let you know how much we adore you, and we thank you for saving us. Jesus, we not only thank you for saving us, we thank you for giving us life while we're here on earth. We thank you that you've given us understanding and clarity on how to live for you. Lord, we just want you to hear me today. Hear us all. Hear our hearts. Your babies are, Lord, your children are in your living room. And we want you to know we're not ignoring you. We truly love you. And thank you for all you've done. Father, I pray for those that are struggling with forgiving themselves this morning. Lord, there's a group of folks this morning that you've forgiven them. You've already wiped their sins away, but God, they can't seem to let go of their past. Every single time they step making a step forward, condemnation comes back into their head. And Lord, I rebuke the spirit of condemnation in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just speak right now to their own flesh to come into subjection. The Lord, they can accept the forgiveness that you've already given them. You've already provided. Lord, I pray for that lady this morning whose right ovary is causing problems. Lord, I speak right now, Lord, even to the cyst that's on that ovary in the name of Jesus. Lord, I rebuke it and command right now the pain to be gone because the cyst is gone in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are faithful and you are just and you are good. You are our healer. You are our lover. God, everything we need is available for us. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling in their finances. I just see in my spirit, there are two different people here this morning. You stayed up almost all night long. You wrestled in your sleep. You're just rolling, tossing, waking, because you're in a financial situation. And God says, if you will honor me and do my will, I will make a way where there seems to be no way. I am the way maker and the miracle maker. I am the one that can roll back the Red Sea. I am the one that can provide money enough even in the fish's mouth. If you'll trust me, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path, says the Lord. God, we just thank you that you're so good to us. Lord, today we don't want to rush. We want to just soak in your presence. We need you. Not only do we need you, we want you. Lord, we can't even imagine what it would be like not to have you in our lives. Where would we be today? Some would be dead. Some would be long divorced. Some would be long alcoholics. Some would be drug addicts. Some would be very wealthy and live in nice houses and live empty. Jesus, without you, there is no fulfillment inside. And we thank you that you love us. You gave us reason and purpose. And today we just wanted you to know one more time in the living room. Can you do that for me? You're in Christ's living room. Can you talk to him this morning? Just say thank you to him. Come on, right now where you are, right in your seat. Come on, thank him. Talk to him this morning. He's waiting to hear your voice. Some of you have never done that before. You've never opened your mouth and spoken to Jesus like that, except alone in a car or in your sleep. Come on now, right in his living room, start telling how much you love him. Thank him for what he's done in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. We drive out the spirit of discouragement in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a person in the middle of your back on the right side, just below your shoulder blade. You're having pain more on the back side than the shoulder blade. In Jesus' name, I command you to be gone. Someone's dealing with arthritis in your right hand. In Jesus' name, I command that arthritis come out of that body right now. Lord, I even speak to the joints. I command you to be recreated by the power in the name of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, there are some folks in this room that need to feel your presence. God, they believe in you. They've given their hearts to you. But Lord, it's been such a long time since they've had a refreshing rain. I pray for a refreshing in their spirit, and that, Jesus, you will touch them tangibly. In the name of Jesus. Angels do work on behalf of the saints. The other individual, just up from your breastbone, about 2 inches on the left-hand side, you're having pain behind your ribcage. I just speak right now in Jesus' name, whatever the cause is, I curse you. I command the sickness to come out, disease to come out. Lord, I command the body to be made whole in the name of Jesus. We love your presence. You're so good, God. These are the moments that you can hear from Jesus. I challenge you to hear from Jesus. Somebody's been a long time since you've heard him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. Hallelujah. Worthy, Jesus. You're worthy for praise. You're worthy of our worship. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. You are the resurrected Messiah. You are the Savior, our healer, our deliverer. You are our soon coming King. Ah, peace, peace, peace. Peace I give, peace I leave. Peace I leave with you. We speak to the storms in the name of Jesus. Peace, be still. I love your presence, God. I love your presence, God. I love your presence, God. Lord, just show me there's a group as well. It's more than just one individual that you're holding unforgiveness. You can actually follow back your lack of peace to that place where they offended you and you stopped releasing them. The Lord says if you want what you had before, you need to go back and fix what you've already stopped. The flow has never stopped. The flow of God, the presence of God, the power of God has never stopped. It's you stopped it with your unforgiveness. Go back, forgive them, and you'll see and feel my presence like you used to. Someone's gallbladder is being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, I can do this all day long. Just stop and listen. Stop and listen. He's always talking to you. Just most of us don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It's not because you're the preacher you get to hear. Everyone gets to hear. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. He's talking to you. The Holy Spirit dwells inside. Ah, we love you. Being where you are, God. Bless you. Here he comes. He's coming thicker right now. Get ready. In the name of Jesus, go. In Jesus' name. Some of you are not sure what to do. You're getting a little bored. It means you need to learn how to connect with the presence of God. Now, if you don't know how to do that, it's really simple. Just ask Him. Say, I'm not really sure, Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do? He'll talk to you. I kind of need this too this morning. You know, it's almost like standing in a good shower. You know those 5-minute showers just don't work. Sometimes you just need to stand there and lean up against that wall. Let it hit your back. My God. Take that deep breath, relax. You feel all the cares of the world. That's why he says, in my presence is fullness of joy. Because you get those moments of just, and you can lay all your burdens down. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Sweet, sweet Spirit. Sweet Holy Spirit. I love you. Sweet Holy Spirit, you can do whatever you want. We drop our agenda just for you. Hallelujah. You're listening to us. I know you're here. Thank you. Someone's right. Heal is being healed in Jesus' name. Someone here is constantly getting sinus infections and the doctors have flushed it. They've given you the medication for it. Nothing seems to be working, but Jesus is touching you right where you're at right now. I curse infection and I command the cause of it that is perpetual to be gone in Jesus' name. Oh, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Isn't it interesting in how our flesh wants to go, 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 go? Because if your flesh wins, you never stop and listen. Go, 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 go. What's next? What's next? Go, 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 go. Do it all the time. You can't hear. You can't hear. Busyness does not equal production. There was a woman named Martha, and there was a woman named Mary. Martha was up making supper for Jesus. Man, made him supper. You know it had to be good. She's making it for the Messiah. And her sister Mary, how audacious, sat down, and all she did was this. She sat down and listened to Jesus. And Martha came in and says, Jesus, I got a problem with my sister. She's lazy. She's sitting right there doing nothing. I'm out there cooking for you. And Jesus looked and said, yeah, she chose the better thing. You got to choose. Every choice we make makes a decision on where we're going to be every day. And even in a service like this, you see, I have to make choices. I have to make choices because we have timetables. Do I say, Holy Spirit, you're done at 9:25? Or do I say, maybe I gotta cut this out and cut that out? Because this, oh, I just sensed him. Here he comes. This, the presence of God, whew, Holy Ghost, move. Move, 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 Holy Spirit. This is the better thing. Lord, we want to be like Mary. Yeah, we're not lazy, we're just smart. Lord, I pray for the guests that are in the room this morning that aren't sure what's going on. I know you're already touching them. Touch them now. In Jesus' name. Let them sense your presence. Lord, if it makes them nervous, if your presence makes them nervous, I pray you bring a peace too. That we'll say when we leave this building, surely I've been in the presence, in the house of God. We love you. Isn't that good? How many of you love Jesus this morning? We're not going to do meet and greet. Is that all right? We're not going to do meet and greet because we did some meeting and greeting. Amen. But I do want you on your way back to your chair. When you get to your chair, don't be a snob. Turn around to the person in back of you and say, I love the presence of Jesus.
Hey family, we have one of our favorite evangelists coming this month, Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth. He's going to be here November 18th, right here at the Horseheads campus, 9:11 a.m. You'll be seeing him in Ithaca at 11 a.m. You're going to have these cards in your chairs. You want to make sure that you pray, that you invite, and that you bring those people that need Christ. On the back of this card, there's actually 7 lines of names that you can put down here. Pray for them, but make sure you fill your row. Be here November 18th, 9 or 11, right here at Horseheads or in Ithaca at 11 a.m. for Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth. We've got 4 holiday events coming up in the last week of November. We're going to be doing the Elmira Holiday Parade, the Corning Parade of Lights, Holly Days, and Sparkle. Each of these are an event hosted by the community where we get to participate and share the love of God. We're going to be having special holiday sweatshirts. They're going to be green. And if you'd like to come and sign up and help serve our community, there's going to be a sign-up sheet at the Info Center. You can also email me at outreach@histabernacle.com or go to the website at www.histabernacle.com.
Family, big news. Groups are ending the end of November, which means you need to get into one as soon as possible. Last month, we had almost 200 people attending a group, which is amazing, but that still means there's a couple hundred of us not connected every week to the family of God. I want to encourage you, if you're a group host, throw your hand up real quick, nice and high so everybody can see you, and keep it up. If you see someone close to you and you're not a part of a group or you haven't been connected, maybe you haven't been going, I want to encourage you to find somebody and get signed up or come out to the front desk and we'd love to get you involved. We're going to be covering 2 amazing topics, and every single person should be in one so we can be connected as the family of God and we can grow together. Make sure you sign up. Have a phenomenal day.
Awesome. Well, good morning, family. It's Sunday, the best day of the week. We just want to welcome you. If you're a guest in the house and this is your first time with us, we just want to welcome you. So family, would you just put your hands together for our guests? We love you. We're so glad that you came to spend time with us today. If you would, we have a guest packet for you. And if you've not received that yet, would you just raise your hand? We have some awesome people that are going to get that to you right in your seat. There's some information for you to fill out, as well as right after service. If you would make your way through the door, my left, your right, we have what we call a guest reception, and that is for you to come and spend time with us. We want to get to know you. We want to give you some coffee and some snacks, so come spend time with us. We are so excited that you came to be with us today, and if you're watching via live stream, we love you. Welcome. Get ready. I feel like I say it every time, but get ready. What God has for us today is good. But then last but never ever least, tonight is Awaken Monthly, and we are so excited. Last month we had 95 young adults come out and hang out with us, and so tonight it's called Rep Your Team Sunday, so you got to wear your favorite sports jersey, all right? I'm coming in a South African rugby jersey because rugby is the best, which I realize is not a very popular thing to say in a football type church. But anyway, so come, whatever team, basketball, football, your team, come rep them tonight. We have pizza, coffee, 6 p.m. If you have children, we have childcare that is provided for you. I know all the parents are like, amen, hallelujah, we're bringing them. So come, hang out with us. The ages are 18 to 30. It's a young adult. Some young adults are maybe 45, but Awaken is for 18 to 30. So come and be with us now. But if you would prepare your hearts, I'm going to hand over to the most holy reverend father-in-law, Dr. Michael Spencer.
She is so bad, isn't she? My daughter-in-law is picking on me on a constant basis. So I kind of deserve it. If you know anything about me, I cause my own issues. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. Amen. Or remind those that got your selfie. Some of you didn't get your selfie in the parking lot, not because we didn't want to, but because you were either very late or very early, or there was a backup, and I was getting in trouble. So this morning, my wife, Pastor Rhonda, is in Kentucky, and preaching the gospel there. And I hope you realize she has a busier schedule than most evangelists. She's been gone the last 3 weeks doing ministry, and we're just blessed to be able to share her. And this is one of our churches that we help the pastors. The pastor is actually licensed and ordained through His Tabernacle Family Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And so that's where she is this morning, Church 360. So we want to pray for her. Let's just pray real quick. Father, use her. Lord, you've been using her all weekend. I pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, this morning as she's getting up to preach the gospel, that you'll use her in such a powerful manner. Lord, we also pray for Pastor Chad as he preaches in the church in Ithaca, and we declare, God, an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, increase that church in that region, that, Father, we may kick the devil's butt out of Ithaca in Jesus' name. God, we give you praise for this house, your house, and we thank you for being here. In Jesus' name we pray. Anybody said, amen. You ever heard someone say, well, you know, I don't have time to be in church and things in that manner? You know, there's a verse, David made the declaration, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Now, a lot of people don't realize what that actually means. You see, we all have excuses why we choose not to be in the house of the Lord, but David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Do you know the doorkeeper was the worst job you could have in the house of the Lord? It really was. Let me explain its job. The job was to make sure that all the men were circumcised. Yeah, that doesn't take a real brilliant mind to figure out that that's not the best of jobs. You couldn't go, are you circumcised? No. You had to know that they were circumcised. So I want to challenge you to have the heart of David. And the heart of David is this, is that I'd rather be in the house of God than anywhere else. When you get that to be your heart, that's God's heart. How do we know that? Because David had a heart after God. I pray that you'll have the heart after God, that you'll make his house your priority in your life. And when you do, you'll see God's outpouring in your life in a greater dimension. This morning we're going to receive the morning tithes and offerings. I know Pastor Rhonda usually does that. She usually encourages you to be a tither. I just know this, and that is we have a lot to do. Can I hear an amen? The vision at His Tabernacle is not small. Can I hear an amen? Many of you have not seen, but we're going to show you. We have plans that are being put together now to enclose the front of the church. That means, you know how you walk in the front door and how cold the foyer usually is? We're going to enclose the front of that where the concrete is. So there'll be a barrier between you, the outdoors and the front doors. It'll be warmer in the church. How many of you wouldn't mind that? I know all the doorkeepers wouldn't mind that. Amen. All those that are coming in would rather have a place to have a warm cup of coffee than a cold cup of coffee. Amen. So we're going to be doing that. There's just so much we need to do. How many of you have been looking around the altar? The altar now is about 9 years old, needs to be replaced this year. We're going to need to change the rugs. They're all stained. If you've been around, we have a lot of beautiful stains here in the front. That's usually caused by your pastor with our examples that we put out there, water baptism. So we need to do a bunch of things this year to take care of God's house. But you know what? We would never have to take a special offering in this church, not one, if everybody tithed. Do you realize that? We would never once have to take an offering in this church. Every guest speaker we had, you just have the opportunity. So we would never have to take one offering outside of Sunday morning tithe if every one of us tithed. Some of you are saying, I can't afford to tithe. This is what I want to say to you. You can't afford not to tithe. Amen? Because once you equate God into your finances, you'll always see God's blessings chasing you down and tripping you up. I challenge you this morning. I don't know. Maybe you've never stepped out in faith. Remember, faith is stepping out on something to land on, stepping out on nothing to land on something. I challenge you, if you're saying in your head, I don't have the faith for 10%, start with 5%. Some of you have never given more than a George Washington. I don't know if you've ever heard the joke. Sure, I'll tell it to you. There's an incinerary, and at the incinerary there was a $100 bill, a $50 bill, a $20 bill, and a dollar bill. The $100 bill started talking and said, I've been to France 3 times, I've been to Australia, been all over the world. The $50 bill said, oh, you know, I haven't been all over the world, but I've been to Acapulco, and I've been to Canada, and I've been to Disneyland. The 20 sits up and says, hey, you know something? I've been to McDonald's like 45 times, and I've been to here, and I've been there. The dollar bill soared up and said, well, I've been to the Presbyterian Church, I've been to the Pentecostal Church, I've been to the Baptist Church. Listen now, if you've never had the faith to give, this is where you start. You got to start somewhere to get somewhere. Amen? Start tithing. If you can't tithe, if you choose not to tithe, then at least step out in faith and do 5%. At least step out in faith and do a 20. Can I hear an amen? Well, that was a weak amen. Can I hear an amen? And all the tithers said, all I need to do to give is 20? No. There's a rumor floating around. I would need you to help me stop it. That it costs $200 to come to church here every week. Thank you. If you want to give $200, we're not going to argue with you. But we don't charge anything to come to his tabernacle. My wife and I don't know who tithes except for the staff. It's not our business. That's between you and Jesus. But I'll never stop. My wife and I will never stop encouraging you to obey God. Because if you can't trust God with your money, how can you trust him with your soul? Amen. I challenge you to trust the Lord. This morning when you come to give your tithes and your offerings, I ask that you don't put money in the plate. I ask that you put your life in the plate. Every one of us traded our lives this week for money. And I pray that when you put those finances in there, that you make a declaration, Lord, I'm giving 10% of my life back to you that I've given to somebody else. And I declare that you are my source and nobody else. Amen. Will you believe God with me? Let's all stand to our feet. If you're our guest this morning, we usually bring our tithes and offerings to the front. If you're uncomfortable with that, I just pray that you just come touch the offering plate, but believe that God will bless you. You see people holding phones up. There's online giving. We have so many opportunities for you to be faithful to the Lord. So let's just declare the word of the Lord. Shout it out loud. I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. If you're watching my live stream, this is your moment. You know, some of you have been watching. You know, 2 weeks ago, we had over 300 computers watching on live stream. I challenge you. Last week, there were over 130. Do you know what that means? 130, they equate 2.1. That means over 260 people are watching by live stream every week at a minimum. And I challenge you to be a tither. Some of you have never once given. This is your day. Am I telling you can't watch? Nope. But I'm telling you, if you're eating for free all the time, after a while, it doesn't have the same flavor. Make sure you're a giver and a tither.
Be your name.
Look at that. I just did text to give. I've never done that before. I even got a text message back saying thank you. That's really cool. Now, someone said, Pastor Obi was telling me, now all I have to do is do amount, and do I have to do, like, text to give, or? Cool. That's really neat. All right, praise the Lord. How many of you are having a great day? Well, that was so sad. I said, how many of you are having a great day? I'm excited today to bring the word to you. I know it's one that's challenging. We've been preaching on the watchman on the wall, that you are someone's divine connection. Turn to someone and say, without me, they won't go to heaven. That is the truth. You are God's divine connection to somebody, and without you, they're not going to be in eternity. Many of us downplay our role here on this planet, and we can't because God needs you. If God didn't need you, he wouldn't have saved you. And if you weren't needed, you'd die after you got born again. How many of you are glad after you were born again, you didn't drop dead? Amen. That's a good thing. Jesus said, the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and life more abundant. This is what I love about God. He's got a great plan for you. Turn to someone and say, you are not an accident. My mother, mom, you did tell me I was an accident, but... Turn to someone and say, I'm someone's divine connection. Now listen, if they were your divine connection and they're here now, turn and say thank you. If they weren't, don't thank them. They didn't do anything. Today I want to talk about boldness, but not just boldness. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. Many of us don't understand the Holy Spirit. There are many times in our lives as believers we are striving. We are really working. I mean, we got born again, genuinely washed by the blood of Jesus, changed by God on the inside, no longer the same person. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You are transformed, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt because the Spirit says that he'll bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. That today if you die, you know you go to be with Christ. How many of you know that today, if you take your last breath, you're going to see Jesus face to face? How many are not sure? Amen. Anybody else? We're going to have an altar call at the end. You want to be in that. Why? Because today you can know that you know that you know that you know that you know that if Christ, when he washes your sins away, you are going to heaven. Isn't that exciting? But after you're saved, many people are striving. How many of you came out of some junk? There weren't that many. That's good. How many of you came out of junk? How many of you came out of a mess? How many of you know that you needed God? You know, there are some people that live pretty righteous, even though they're not going to heaven. I don't ever understand those people, because if you're trying to live, I mean, if you're not living like hell and you're going there, you're stupid. You're trying to be moral, but you're not going to make it to heaven. That's pretty dumb. Listen, if you're going to hell, go well. Amen? Well, you know, I'm trying to be a good person. You can be as good as you want. You're still going to hell. Without the blood of Jesus, you're not going to heaven. If you don't confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible says, John 3:3, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not about religion. This is about what Christ paid for. You see, somebody has to pay for your sin. Turn to someone and say, the wages of your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, somebody had to pay for the sin that you and I commit. And thank God for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Thank God that he chose to pay for our sin. But there are people who don't want God. They don't want God in their life. So they've made a conscious choice. I'm going to pay for my own sin. This is why people say to me, well, if God was really love, then how could he send anybody to hell? God sends nobody to hell. They send themselves because they've chosen to pay their own price. See, the next time someone says, well, if God was really loving, he wouldn't send anybody to hell. And you can correct them, number one, they're not going to go to hell. They're going to go to the lake of fire at the end. That's free, by the way. But I would then say, listen, if you choose not to follow Jesus, the wages of your sin is death. You're making a choice to pay for your own sin. But I've got a Messiah who paid for mine. Can I hear an amen? Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. But what's happened is so many people are striving to live that Christian life. They're working hard. How many of you know somebody that said, well, I tried that Christian thing and it didn't work? Well, I want to explain how that happens. And that happens because they're trying to do the things of God in the flesh. See, we do not, as humans, have the ability to live in spirit outside of the help of the Holy Spirit. What's happened is we have a lot of believers that are striving to live holy lives. They're striving to share their faith, and they're struggling horribly because they're trying to do it out of their own strength. Listen, if we could do it out of our own strength, then Jesus didn't need to come, and there would be no need for the Holy Spirit. You see, God has given us power to walk. He's given us authority to walk. He's given us the Holy Spirit to walk holy. He's given us the Holy Spirit to walk in boldness. He's given us the Holy Spirit to walk in power. But if we do not rely upon the Holy Spirit, then we will not be able to do what only humans, we will only be able to do what a human can do. Now listen, the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. This is what's happened. So many people are striving, but God is not asking you to strive. God is asking you to live in rest. Say it again. God is not asking you to strive. God is asking you to live in rest. How can you live in rest? There's only one way to live in rest, and that is to not live in your power, but to learn how to walk in the Spirit. For those who walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, it's not what we can do, it's what God can do through us. That's why in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives. And the life that I now live, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. You see, we are striving so bad to be holy. We're striving so hard to live right. We're striving so hard to be people that are born again, washed by the blood of Christ. We're striving so hard to share the gospel. But the Lord said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So many of us are trying to do it in our might. Well, I'm trying to live right. Listen, I'm repeating myself on purpose. You hear me? I haven't lost my spot. Because the Lord was showing me very clearly this week. There are many of you that are frustrated. You've been asked to share the gospel, but you're afraid to share the gospel. You have no boldness, not because the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, but because you're relying more on your own abilities than the Spirit of God. And that there are many that are striving to live right before the Lord. Man, you really genuinely love God. You had a genuine God experience, and he's changed your life. But yet, you're not holy enough in the aspect of your own mentality. And you're striving to do it your way. I want you to recognize, until you do it the way of the Lord, it's not going to be done well. Say amen or oh my. You see, this is where, as believers, if we knew that the law could do it, then there would have been no need for Jesus. You see, if you and I could make this thing happen, if you and I had the personal ability to live right, if you and I had the personal ability to have that supernatural bolt, if we would never need God. Hebrews chapter 8 makes a declaration there was something wrong with the first covenant. That's why I made a second one. And that Jesus is the mediator of a new and a better gift, a better promise, a better covenant. And you and I have him dwelling in us by the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you, when you became born again, you didn't join a church. You didn't join a religion. When you became born again, literally, not figuratively, the Spirit of God came and dwelled inside of you. Literally, you are possessed by God. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. But what happens is you can become the temple of the Holy Spirit, but never allow the Holy Spirit to live. When we're striving to do it our way, that's where frustration comes. If you're constantly frustrated in your walk with the Lord, it's because you're trying to do it out of the flesh. You're trying to do it your way. You're trying to do it without the Spirit of God. And God is saying, listen, if that could have been accomplished, then I would have kept the law in place. But the law doesn't work. It was a tutor to show us that we needed a Savior. There's a need for you and I as believers, once we've gotten saved, to recognize, listen, I tried that thing in the flesh before, and it didn't work. I tried to be perfect. It didn't work. I tried to be righteous. It didn't work. I tried to share what I believe. It didn't always work. But when you get a hold of God, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, when you get God's Spirit controlling your life, there is a supernatural flow out of your being that is not natural. Turn to somebody and say, it's not natural. We have too many believers trying to live in the natural and not in the supernatural. But Christ sent the Holy Spirit so we could live in the supernatural, because the supernatural doesn't need to come from above. The supernatural comes from within. As believers, this is necessary. And what's happened is there are many that have walked away from their true God experience because they're striving so hard in the flesh. They've not been taught about the need for the Holy Spirit. And I want to explain this to you, that when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he was what? He was living in the time of the law. It wasn't until John 20 that Christ breathed on his disciples and they received salvation the way we do after he was risen from the dead. But then he said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the promise of the Father. John the Baptist said it this way: there's one coming after me whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You see, you and I need the Holy Spirit. You and I need the power of God. You and I need to learn how to rest in his life so his life will come through your life. But we can't do that if we're always striving to do it our way. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, when you learn how to live through the power of the Holy Spirit, there's very few frustrating times. Now, I'm not saying that there are not stretchings of faith. I'm not saying that there's not times you need to do some extra prayer, calling those things which are not as though they already are. I'm not saying that at times there's not a buffeting. But what I'm saying is, when you learn how to live out of the life of the Holy Spirit, you're learning how to live out of the life of God. It's called the Zoe kind of life, the God kind of life, where when God starts living through you, that's that whole thing right there. But Jesus made that declaration: the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life, and life, the word life, more abundant. The word life there is not life just in the flesh. It's God's living life through you in the flesh. You see, there's an abundance in your life. There's peace in your life. There's joy in your life. There's power in your life. There is boldness in your life. God has victory in your life. Listen, I can keep going with all the different words, but they don't mean anything until you're going through them. But when you recognize that my flesh can't accomplish this, but through the Spirit I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then you recognize there's a need for the Holy Spirit like we've never needed him before. But yet if we're trying to do it in our flesh, we will never succeed. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But you shall receive power, shall power... Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power, shall power, power. I can't hear you, shall power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, we're talking about power. Power is the supernatural dynamo, the dynamite of God that dwells inside. You see, before you were saved, you didn't have that. This is why people that are not born again do not live in the same sphere that those who are. Now, it's not that they're not good people. It's not that they're nice, not nice folks. But what's happened is this. Without God living inside of you, you do not have the supernatural ability of heaven to manifest through you. You can only live in the natural, which means, let's be honest, natural people have caused more problems than God. How many of you have ever tried to fix your own problem before and found it unsuccessful? Isn't it amazing we're trying to fix the government with people? No, really, when you start to study this, we've tried democracy. That really hasn't done overwhelmingly well. I mean, thank God it's better than a monarchy. We tried all the different types of government. But the only government we've not gone back to try is the one that worked in the beginning, which is called the theocracy. And that is when God is living through his people. We want to live ourselves. But I love what the declaration is. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. In him we live and move and have our being. Oh my goodness, man. This is all word this morning. I've already popped off almost 25 verses to you. This is the life that God wants to live through us. This is the life that God wants to manifest through us. But he cannot manifest this stuff through us if we don't allow him and allow the Holy Spirit to live through us, which means it's not about us. It's not by might. It's not by power. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Listen, if I can encourage every one of you to do two things. Number one, join step one, rock solid faith. Some of you don't know enough. You don't know enough to live successful. You're struggling and striving, and you shouldn't be. He's created a peace and a rest for you. And then number two, I would encourage you to get Benny Hinn's book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Why would I suggest that book? Because you're going to read that book specifically on the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? He is God. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They are three yet. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they are three yet. Come on. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they are three yet. One. So the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you is literally God, which means the Bible shows us in Genesis chapter 1 that he was God that brooded over the earth at creation. He's the one that empowered Jesus. He's the one who rose Jesus from the dead. He's the one that has been sent down from the Father, John chapter 14, John chapter 16, to be conviction to the world, but also to empower the body of Christ. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, which means you've got the power to live for God. Striving to do our own righteous thing don't work. We're not saved by works of righteousness. We're saved by grace through faith. Why are we putting faith in Jesus? Because he paid the price that we could not pay. But beyond that, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus would not even launch his church without the Holy Spirit first being poured out. Yet the church today, we run from the supernatural. So we skirt around. In fact, I had a man when I wrote Rock Solid Faith. I had one of the number one, he was on the one of the bestsellers lists of New York Times, said to me, you know what? This book here, Rock Solid Faith, Truth or Rock Solid Faith, I can help make this a bestseller if you take out the Holy Spirit. Because there are churches that no longer believe in the Holy Spirit. They believe in him, but they don't believe in him. They believe he's God, but don't believe he's doing anything really strong. And I want you to know that if we do anything outside of the Holy Spirit, it's worthless. If we do anything outside of the Holy Spirit, it is temporary. We do anything outside of the Holy Spirit, it is our own strength. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives the anointing. The anointing is the perpetual propulsion of the power of God. The anointing is the supernatural release of heaven's power through you to bring change and transition in a natural world. But that cannot occur if we ignore him, if we don't know him. That means we live by our own capabilities. And if we haven't learned quick enough that that's caused us enough problems, then we can wait a few months and learn again. This is where, as us as believers, we have got to seriously step into this process of allowing the Holy Spirit to be who he's called to be. The churches don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit because they're afraid to offend people. I'm here to offend you. I still believe there is a Holy Spirit sent from God. I still believe that he literally possesses those that confess Christ as their personal Savior. I literally believe that he releases the anointing, the power of heaven through you to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils. I still believe that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, that you speak in other tongues. I still believe that the word of God is yea and amen. I still believe at the end of Revelation, anybody who adds or subtracts, let all the curses of the book be upon them. I still believe. I have to believe. Why? Because if man could have done it themselves, there would not have need to be Jesus sent. Today we work so hard, but Christ is saying, you're working too hard. There's a rest for you. There's a rest in your spirit. When all of a sudden somebody comes against you, well, they come against you one way, but they got to flee seven. When all of a sudden somebody tries to destroy you, you sit back and you rest in God and say, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tesid Kanu. Come on now. He's my fighter. He's my battler. He's my king. He's my defender. Hey, some of you might sit back and just say, hey, I'm going to pray to God, but I'm not praying to God. I'm praying to my king. I'm praying to my Lord. I'm praying to the one who can say, I'm way maker, miracle maker. I'm the one who calls those things and makes them, creates them, develops them. I'm the one who says, if I say it, it is so. No matter what anybody would declare, my God is able to do all and even more than that, abundantly above all he could even ask or imagine. He's God. This is the change and the transition and the shift in our life, where we no longer rely upon the armor of the flesh. We couldn't do it in the first place. Get into God. This is the disconnect that the diabolical is working. The disconnect is striving to get us to a position where we don't pray and we don't read the Bible. We don't come to church. When we do that, we literally disconnect and we rely more upon ourselves than we do upon the presence of God. So we get bored. You're bored in church? Let me tell you how come. Because you no longer are in spirit. You're only in flesh. It's the truth. Well, I don't feel nothing. Flesh, not spirit. My favorite one. Well, I can't go there anymore. I just don't feel nothing. That's your problem, not God's problem. Now listen, if you don't know God's in this house, you got serious issues. You need salvation. We'll do that altar call to the end. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And I'm never going to relinquish. I'm never going to sit back. I'm going to declare the goodness of God. For listen, it's in the presence of the Lord there's fullness of joy, not in the presence of church. See, that disconnect happens when you no longer are in his presence. So you start relying on your own abilities. And listen, if we didn't learn this way back when we lean on our own abilities, we constantly fail. But we learn to live in the Spirit. We learn that there's power that doesn't make sense. We learn that there's a grace that comes upon us. Grace, meaning the power from God to live a holy life. There's a grace that starts to surge in us. A temptation comes before us. And if we're walking in the flesh, we're literally drawn to that. But when you're walking in the Spirit, you're repelled by that. Not because you're repelling, but because the Spirit of God is stronger than your flesh man. You see, there's a time to bring our flesh into subjection. And that is to say, God, the more I'm in your presence, the more I'm in your presence, the more I'm in your presence, God, the more I can live for you. We can't do that in our flesh. And we can't share the gospel in the flesh. It doesn't work. Well, you know, I'm not like that person. They have a flamboyant personality. This has nothing to do with personality. Boldness doesn't have anything to do with you. The problem with people with boldness, let's just talk about me. The problem with me is if I live in the flesh, I can talk to anybody. But it doesn't mean I'm going to get anything done. Because if it's not done in the anointing, not done through the presence of God, it has no eternal value. So your personality can be one of the greatest trip-ups you have. Where a person that's the most timid, when they learn how to walk in the Spirit, they have a boldness that makes no sense to mankind. And it draws an attention in the presence of the Lord. And all of a sudden, God starts to move and God starts to change. Because you are being used by God for God so that God gets glory from your life. It's not enough to suck air and die and just to go to heaven. I want to have crowns to throw at his feet. I want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want God to say, your life was used for my glory and I used you up. Not, boy, you know, you attended once every 3 weeks. Good job. You wondered why you were weak. You see, when you're living in the things of the Spirit, when I'm weak, he is strong. When you're living in the flesh, the only strength you have is in the flesh. That's why those who are even going through difficult times in their physical bodies will rise up and sometimes do most of it. Listen, if they understand how to walk in the Spirit, they'll live greater than those that are living healthy. Why is that? Because they learned that their strength was not in themselves. They learned their strength was in the Holy Spirit who dwells inside. Yeah. I've got to hurry. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Well, I thought Peter was this like flamboyant guy whose mouth was just, he had a foot down his throat, knee down his throat. He had foot mouth disease. Like he was always getting in trouble for what he said. And it's true, he was. But watch. When he was living in the flesh because he did not have the Holy Spirit, he denied Jesus 3 times. Some of you denied God and you felt guilty Peter, thank you. Sorry, my head is like 4 sentences ahead. Just like Peter, you man, with good intentions, remember, Peter took out a sword and slopped off that dude's ear. Now, I don't know about you, just this is a side note. When Jesus went down, picked it up, and put it back on his head, and it stayed, I'd have got saved. They weren't that smart. Peter then goes and 3 times he denies Jesus. And the Bible says he ran away and wept bitterly because he felt an enormous amount of guilt. He tried to do it in the flesh. But I want to remind you that this is before he was saved like we were saved through the blood of Christ, because Jesus hadn't died and risen from the dead. But beyond that, that was before the Holy Ghost came upon him like he did in Acts chapter 2. And when the Spirit of God came on him in Acts chapter 2, he stood up that day and he started preaching the gospel. And man, that day, 3,000 men gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not ashamed. Why? Because he lived in the power of the Holy Spirit and received a boldness that was not his personality, but was a thing of the Holy Ghost. And when it was a thing of the Spirit, it changed lives. Some of us, we need to get back into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that you weren't baptized in the Spirit and speaking in other tongues. But what I am saying is you don't rely on that anymore. You've gotten so familiar with the Holy Spirit, like they did when Jesus went into his hometown, that he could do no mighty miracles. Some of you have not seen God do any mighty miracles in your life. You haven't been touched by the Holy Spirit in so long. And the reason is because you're so familiar with him, you ignore him. You no longer spend time with him. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. You no longer are led by him. You're doing your own life. And God is saying, listen, I didn't save you and give you new life for you to live your old life. You can live your own life your own way, and you don't need God. But the reason he gave you new life was so that you could live in his life and live life more abundantly, not survival. People have asked my wife and I, how can you deal with all this stuff? Now, some of you know, some of you don't. I shared it a few weeks ago. My wife and I moved home after almost 7 weeks of living in hotels. I moved home on Thursday. Our house was flooded. My wife hasn't moved home yet. She's in Kentucky. My house flooded. Between $80,000 and $100,000 in damage. Couldn't live there. Shut the water off. Still waiting for insurance companies. Nothing we could do. How can we still live the way we live? How can we still live in victory? How can we still live like nothing has changed? It's simple. It's not my life. My life is in nothing that's embodying natural. This is not my home. Now listen, I missed my home because I did sleep good last night in my own bed. But watch, it's not my home. I'm here as a sojourner with a destiny and a purpose beckoning me, saying, hey, you're my divine connection to people. You're my divine connection to see lives change. You're my divine connection to transition people from death to life. You're my divine connection to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You're my divine connection. I can't afford you to be distracted. That's what somebody asked me, Pastor, how you doing? I said, I'm a little distracted today. And he said, I'm going to pray for you. That's right. The devil loves to keep you distracted. He loves to keep you in a place where you're no longer living in the Spirit, trusting in the Word of God and living in the power and the dimension of God's Spirit that transitions your life. Listen, I don't look at the things which are seen, for they are temporary, but I look at the things which are not seen, for they are eternal. The eternal principles of God are more powerful than anything this world has to offer. Some of you don't have the boldness anymore to preach the gospel, to share your faith, because it's been so long since you've allowed the Holy Spirit to touch and run your life. It's been so long. You're questioning, where is God? And God's saying, no, where are you? He said, I haven't moved. You have. My Spirit is still resident, but you ignore him. My voice is still loud, but you've muted me. God is saying, listen now, I don't have survival for you. I have victory for you. But I can't give you victory if you're not walking in the Spirit. You see, you want to share your faith? Do you remember in the Bible when people shared their faith the most was when they first got touched by Jesus? Some of you, that's the last time you shared your faith. They got touched so powerfully by the Lord. In fact, Jesus looked at a few of them and said, don't tell anybody. What did they do? They went out and told everybody. Because they had good news. Some of you have forgotten the good news you came out of. You've forgotten where you come out of. You've forgotten the sin that you left behind when you accepted Jesus. You forgot the addictions that you carried and the lifestyle privately that owned your life. And now it's time to get back to understanding. This is what Jesus delivered me from. I'm coming back. Lord, I thank you for where I've come from. And I'm not going to forget because I've got good news to tell somebody. That's the testimony. And when you do that in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it transitions a life. It's a seed. Listen, you're not going to save people. You can't save. Turn to someone and say, you can't save a fly. But our job is to plant seed. You can't plant seed if you're not planting seed. You'll never see a harvest if you plant no seeds. You will never see a harvest if you plant no seed. And when you and I are led by the Holy Spirit, and he tells us that one, now it's time to tell your mother. Now it's time to tell your father. Oh, there's your sister. This is the moment. I set her up. This is the moment. Come on. Her ground is good. Go plant the seed. Some of us are more bold with the things of the world than we are with our principles of God. We will share on Facebook everything about what our business is, everything about what our family is, everything about all the good things that happen in our natural world, but we'll share nothing about Jesus. Because we're living in the flesh and not living in the Spirit. If you can't be bold in the Spirit, it's because you're living too much in the flesh. You become so earthly good, you're no heavenly good. It's a time to shift. And this morning, I want to pray with you. My problem is this. This service is timed. I got a whole section I didn't even touch. Some of you, I just wanted to challenge you this morning. I really felt God just wanted to challenge your spirit this morning. You're living too much in the flesh. You're relying way too much on you. That's why you came to Jesus. You realized that didn't work. Why would you return to it? You need, some of you, God spoke to me and he says, they got saved. I truly touched their life. It was a genuine transformation, and now they have avoided me for so long, even when I start to speak to them, they ignore me. When I start to convict them, they no longer hear me. When I try to save them from themselves, they will no longer listen to me. There's no greater help that I have than the one that comes from above. His name is God. And he's not way up there. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body by that same spirit. Today, I want to pray with you real quickly that God will give you a fresh baptism. Some of you have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoken with other tongues. This is your day. If I could have the staff come up real quickly and the prayer team come up real quickly. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoken with other tongues, today is your day to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Today, if you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's been a long time since you had God genuinely touch and change you, you need to be refilled. They got filled in Acts 2, refilled in Acts 4. I want you to come and get hands laid on you. Today, if I could have everyone bow their head and their eyes closed, I've got to hurry, I'm quite late. If you did not know that you're going to go to heaven, or you're not sure that you ever accepted Christ, or you simply know, I want Jesus in my life, today's your day. If you would like to get right with God, who cares what anybody says? They're not going to stand with you in eternity. You're standing by yourself. Who cares if your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your husband or wife, your mother, your brother, your friend next to you? Who cares what they think? You've got to give an account for yourself. And they got to do their own. You got to make a decision for you today. I want God or I don't. I'm willing to pay for my own sin, or I want Jesus to pay for my sin. Today, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. You want to get right with God. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you, ma'am, in the back. Is there anyone else? I'm not going to wait long. Come on. Five. Come on. Let's go. Four. Three. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to you. 3. Get your hand up. 2. Last call. Thank you. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Heather, you're going to need to come up a few steps, honey. Up one more. One more. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be bold. I need you to step out of your seat meet right now and meet me right here. Heather and I, right here, right up front. Come on. Who cares what anybody says? Come on, this is your moment. Amen. I'm so proud of you, honey. Come on, there were more people that raised their hands. Come on up front right now. Can anybody look to the person next to you and say, if you raise your hand, I'll go up with you. Come on, look them right in the eyes. If you raise your hand, I'll go up with you. Amen. Heather will be right here. If you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues, or simply, you just need to be refilled with God, I want you to come right out of your chair. Everybody else is dismissed. Come right out of your chair. Get right near the front. Come get the presence of the Lord. Come get touched by Jesus. We love you. Have an awesome day. Listen now. Walk in the Spirit. You'll find your week will go much, much easier. Pray. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you.